When someone cries fire in a crowded theater, the panic can be fatal, but it is confined to the people in the theater. But on digital media, potentially millions of people are within earshot of a prankster or a reckless texter. For instance, here were a couple of Twitter shout-outs that went live during the middle of the city of New York's confusion during Superstorm Sandy. Breaking: Con Edison has begun shutting down all power in Manhattan. Someone wrote that at 5:30 p.m. under the handle Comfortably Smug. Just a half an hour later on Monday night, the same handle tweeted, "Breaking: Governor Cuomo is trapped in Manhattan, has been taken to a secure shelter." The identity of the tweeter? Shashank Tripathi, campaign manager for Republican congressional candidate Christopher Wright. And of course, none of those tweets was true. Tripathi resigned his post on Wednesday. Joining us now is New York City Councilmember Peter Vallone Jr. Councilman, this is potential dynamite here, right?
Yes, it is, John. You know, the First Amendment is as strong as it is for a reason, and these kind of cases are very difficult. But you did a good job summing it up. You can't yell fire in a theater. And nowadays, you know, during the storm, New York City was a theater. And this is the equivalent of that. Now, I've spoken to the Manhattan District Attorney's Office about this. They are taking this very seriously. There is a crime, a specific crime, Penal Law 240-50, which is falsely reporting an incident. And it reads as follows: if you know the information is baseless and you circulate a false report of an impending catastrophe or emergency, under circumstances in which it is not unlikely that public alarm or inconvenience will result, you can be guilty of an A misdemeanor and potentially go to jail for a year. So this would be one of the first instances I'm aware of, if not the first, where social media would be prosecuted for something like this. And I believe it's appropriate.
Well, it's comforting to know that there's a law that actually would cover this, because so much of social media involves issues that the law hasn't even begun to address. In this case, it sounds like this would be perfectly appropriate. But from your perspective as a leader in the nation's most populous city, I mean, these were relatively innocent. You can imagine in a real, you know, evil motivated way, utter chaos to be engendered by something like this.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I don't actually think these were relatively innocent, because there's a whole line of circumstances here. This guy tweeted that part about the power going out many, many times. And unfortunately, he also tweeted a lot of accurate information, which made it even more confusing. The height of a hurricane. So I don't think it's innocent at all. I think that he needs to be much less comfortable and much less smug right now about the fact that there are serious consequences for being the kind of jerk that this guy is.
In terms of the future, what advice would you give for people who see something like this and are inclined maybe to act on it?
I'm not sure what that is. Social media is a very new thing. And that's why I think it's important that we set an example here and show people they can't abuse this medium, because it is so helpful. So many people were getting accurate information from social media, and to have somebody, you know, an idiot like this ruining that. You get rumors every day, but during a hurricane, you would think that people would not play games and not be an idiot. But apparently, that's not the case. And while the prosecution here is not definite by any stretch, because you have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he knew the information was baseless. Now, while we can both assume that's the case, you know, proving that he didn't get some false report from someplace else because he was tweeting otherwise accurate information could be very difficult.
We're talking about some suspicious tweets that occurred during Monday night at the height of a Superstorm Sandy. That have resulted, at least in the initial stages, of the resignation of a campaign manager for a Republican congressional candidate. Peter Vallone, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, John.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.